Give it enough love. These are simple words, but if you think about it, if you don't love something from the core of your heart, you will never find time for it. You will have 100 excuses not to do it. So if you are really thinking of pursuing anything apart from your regular job, you have to love it enough that you can somehow find time for it. Be ready to compromise your sleep as well to achieve that.
Welcome to the Sum of Everything podcast, where we discuss a little bit of a lot of topics, ranging from spirituality to finance and everything in between. I'm your host, Aishwarya, a serial hobbyist with an unquenchable thirst for learning, especially through new experiences. In this podcast, we will scratch every itch of curiosity, explore various perspectives, step out of our comfort zone, and experience some of everything. Because after all, we are just that, a sum of all our experiences. So let's dive right in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Sum of Everything podcast. We are today in the last episode of the series of Follow Your Passion, and we are joined today by a very special guest. This person is a senior of mine from college. We happened to spend roughly 1 year in the same campus because he's 4 years senior to me. And we happened to connect once again through Instagram when he went through my blog and decided to reach out to me looking for collaborations, which is a move I not only welcomed, but grabbed onto and invited him for this podcast because it was like a godsend at that time. I was wondering who I should call for this particular episode, and this was perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Vivek, a senior of mine, an alumni of NUJS, a lawyer, and a passionate photographer. Hi, Vivek.
Hi, Aishwarya.
I'm so glad you were able to make time for us. I know you're a very busy man, and I'm really glad to have you on this podcast. I'm so excited to actually discuss our shared love for creativity outside of our work.
Definitely, Aishwarya. I have been looking forward to this interview or podcast. I think I could connect to you because I happened to see some of the links on your Instagram and saw that you have been interested in writing blogs and write-ups. And this is where our common interest lies because I also love to write about things. So my passion is not just limited to photography, but also write about things that affect creators, artists, or anything to do with art, photography, or travel.
That's very interesting that you mentioned that your creativity is not limited to just photography. So on that note, can you actually tell us a little bit about yourself? For instance, how did you end up choosing law as a career when you already have such a strong passion for all things art and creativity related? And how did you develop a passion for photography? I know that writing and travel is all part of your creative, you know, genre. But then I see that photography is such a big part of all that you write about and all that you express with. So how did that passion develop?
I think when you give anything a try, then you get to know whether you are liking it or not. So I would say that before you even decide or even get to have any idea about what your passion is or where your true interest lies, you have to be let yourself be free and let yourself experiment with a lot of things. For example, photography is not something that happened right away because earlier I used to be a painter. In my school, I used to paint and my paintings used to be in art galleries and things like that. School art gallery, obviously. But then slowly I realized that painting is something that would require a lot of patience and it requires a number of hours as well. And trying to do along with your studies in law school or even later in your career, it's practically very difficult. Not impossible if you have a heart for it, but practically very difficult. So, you know, till first year of law school, I was actually painting. In fact, the first year of law school fest, cultural and sports fest, I was the one who designed all the posters for the cultural fest outlawed. And I, in fact, helped others also paint the posters, like hand-painted posters I'm talking about. That was the same year when I got to lay my hands on a neighbor's camera. It was not my camera. I clicked a few pictures and I really liked it. I mean, if I'm not boasting about myself, I thought that these pictures could actually make up for a desktop wallpaper. And this is from where I got really motivated. I thought, like, you know, if without any formal trainings or just pure aesthetics or my inclination for painting coming into play, if I can click decent pictures with this camera, then definitely I have a long way to go. And I must say, look, when you pick up something new, people's role is very important. In the sense, I had picked up a camera, I started taking pictures, but I give the credit to all my seniors, juniors, and my friends who always appreciated my not so good work, below average work. Because had they not appreciated it back then, I would not have been probably motivated enough to continue it this long, almost more than a decade, because 2009 or 10 was the year when I had picked up my camera for the first time. And 2025, if you see...
16 years, oh my God.
And this has been possible because there were people who did enjoy and appreciated my not so good work. Even now, my work is not all perfect, but people around you plays definitely a great role, in the sense that obviously everyone needs to be self-motivated enough, but ultimately people's response, appreciation does matter. And so this is where it started, from the law school. And when I used to click pictures, obviously I didn't have a camera back then. I used to borrow it from seniors, and I had my camera only in 2011, which was my fourth year. But till then, 2011 August, I was just borrowing camera from people and clicking pictures. And from there, whatever time, I mean, if I can call it time pass, I used to do in law school, I never knew that it could take me to a point where I could actually make a good living out of it. So the one key takeaway that I would like to share with your listeners is that, you know, when you do things with your heart, don't think so much about it. Like, don't think that whether I can make some money out of it, whether there is any future about it. If you are enjoying it, then just allow yourself to get immersed in it. So that was the law school time. And you would not believe, Aishwarya, that I had never thought that after almost 2 years of law school, I mean, after graduating from NUJS, I would start getting wedding assignments based on my earlier work. That earlier work was not, I believe, because that was just the phase I was learning composition. And most of my composition used to be shoddy, if I can say that. Never, ever, my angles used to be like, you know, straight 180 degree. It used to be like, you know, tilted. And people used to question, why are you taking like this? So I didn't even know the word, what composition means. So basically, whatever time pass I did in law school, I never knew that it would take me to a point where I would start getting wedding assignments and would be able to pay half of my education loan from photography itself. That I'm talking about the year 2015.
Wow. You're telling me that basically your passion paid off or contributed towards paying off your student loans.
Yeah, and I hadn't imagined that, because that was just a passion. And, you know, you have Facebook friends whom you don't even know, whom you would have never interacted with. But still, so that was the Facebook era when a lot of people were connected to me. I had never talked to them, never seen them. So one of those Facebook friends asked me that, look, I'm getting married in Bangalore this year. Would you be able to come and click a few pictures for me as a friend? So I happily agreed to it, that I had just got my first ever entry level DSLR. And I thought, why not? Like, didn't cost me anything. I would get to learn a few things if I go and do a real wedding shoot without any expectations. So obviously I didn't charge for that. I went from Hyderabad to Bangalore Art of Living Center. The venue was really good. So I took pictures for my friend and she really loved the pictures. And this is where the things started. Using those pictures, I started getting more and more assignments. And you would not believe my third assignment, second was also free for a NUJS senior.
Mm-hmm.
The third one I got was a destination wedding in Goa. Can you believe this?
Wow.
And this just came to me and I did it at a dirt cheap price. Just imagine. Why would anyone do a wedding assignments in Goa, a destination wedding at 5,000 per day rate?
Oh, wow. That is unthinkable almost.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the motivation was that at least I will get to shoot a real destination wedding. I will have more pictures to showcase as my wedding photography portfolio.
Right.
So for me, it was more like a portfolio building project rather than a paid assignment.
Exactly.
So I did it. And from 2015 to 17, when I was in Bangalore, you won't believe from 5,000 within 1 year, I was charging almost 35 to 40K per day of shoot. So that was a huge progress for me starting from zero. It was a lean business, lean investment, because I hadn't invested in any camera or lenses. I used to rent out camera and lenses because obviously, why would you get your 5-6 lakh stuck in a business?
All of this is a side hustle at this point because you are also keeping your main job as a lawyer.
Definitely. So around that time, I was working in a law firm. And thankfully, the partner of the law firm was really kind enough to let me do the shoot on weekends because I always used to ensure that my professional commitments are not compromised even by iota. So if I am living up to my professional commitments and not missing any deadlines and doing things within turnaround time, obviously, why would your boss have any problem with that?
Definitely agree with that. Because like you said earlier, it is very important to have the right kind of people encouraging and supporting you when you're doing something creative and new and you're starting an enterprise or you're venturing into something on your own. So having that support of somebody who is like a senior or a manager saying, okay, you know what, you have a hobby, go ahead, do it. You don't have to work during the weekends, especially in a law firm, is, I would say, a blessing. It's not something that you get very easily.
Yeah, I would say I have been blessed. And you know, Aishwarya, the one interesting part I would like to share with you, and it's the story, because when I graduated from NUJS, I was really, really disappointed with my own self, because obviously I was expecting a job in a tier one law firm with, like, you know, lots of money coming my way every month. You know how it is like to work in a top tier law firm in India. But unfortunately, it didn't happen to me despite having good rank and CGPA in my batch. It was under 30, which is still good in a batch of 120. But unfortunately, I didn't. So at that time, I used to curse myself and even go through a lot of inferiority complex, thinking that studying from India's top national law school, still I'm earning this much. What I'm doing with my life? But you know, in hindsight, when I think about it, I think that had that not happened, I would have actually joined a tier one law firm. I would not have given my passion a chance. I think the passion would have been lost in oblivion forever. I would not have been able to do any kind of photography, blogging, and would have completely turned into a corporate drone or robotic person.
Very, very nice point. I really like that you said that, because it is only in hindsight that we realize that a lot of times when we get rejected from one place, it's actually a redirection and it actually leads to something much, much better for us personally. When we at that point can't see or are not able to fathom that something that good or so much better can come our way than what we have potentially set our sights on. But going back, I want to ask this. You said you were very good at painting right from school level. What prompted you to take up law as a career? Because if you are that creative a person, how come you didn't pursue arts And by arts, I mean creative arts or performing arts or, you know, photography or painting or things like that. How did you choose law?
Yeah, so let me put it very bluntly. Mm-hmm. After 12th, I had a choice because I didn't want to do engineering. So I had to become a kind of rebellion to leave engineering behind because I had already paid the fee to the coaching institute for IIT preparation. And I was left with two options, either to join a law school or to join an institution like NIFT or NID. So without any disrespect to NIFT or NID, which are doing tremendously good work out there and producing good artists, I am putting it bluntly. I was looking at the money because I needed financial security first. Mm-hmm. I didn't care about the creativity back then. What really mattered to me, given my family situation, I wanted to know how much I would get after studying this course. So given the track record of National Law Schools and placement records, I knew that if I'm somehow able to make it to one of the top National Law Schools, then my job is guaranteed, a good salary is guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Later on, once I have that, I will give my creativity a chance and see how it goes. But right now, at this point of time, I need money, which is very important because you have to run a family, you have to pay bills. I don't believe in the concept that, okay, follow your path. I mean, everybody has their own views. Without disrespect to that, I believe in the concept that, you know, first you need to secure your finances well because you have a family, you have to make both ends meet, you have kids, a lot of other responsibilities are there. So I don't live in a dreamy world. The harsh truth is even an artist needs to pay the bill. Mm-hmm. So I thought where I'm paying the bills from. So this is how I boiled down to National Law Schools, thinking that lets me make it to one of the good National Law Schools and have good money. And then I will see how I take it forward.
And the rest is history. Fantastic. And actually, on that note, firstly, I just want to say that it's very evident that there are two lawyers talking because of the number of disclaimers being thrown around.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's really funny because I notice I'm doing it, but then I notice you're doing it too. So I'm like, yeah, okay, we've been trained properly.
Yeah.
But on a related note, we have in the past also separately offline talked about how our passion cannot always pay the bills. And that's why we choose to keep our day jobs. But you are a very busy man. And I know that because you are at a senior position in a big financial MNC. You're a husband, you're a father to twin toddlers. And even one is quite a handful, let alone two people. You have a wife who is also working. You're a very present father as well. And you have aged parents living with you. So in all of this, how do you find time for your passion, for the writing, for the photography, for the travel, for all that you put into as your passion?
You know, there's one line answer to that. Mm-hmm. And that answer is, if you really love something from the core of your heart, like if that fire is there, you will somehow find time for it, somehow squeeze in time from wherever. And there are a lot of decisions that helps you do that. Like, you know, you obviously you can't be irrational in taking decisions. So for instance, I stay very near to office. Why? Mm-hmm. So I am paying high rent because I want to save that 1 hour, 2 hour that I would have otherwise spent in traffic, traveling to office and coming from office. So I save on travel time. And I try to balance things because I know that for photography or anything should not override rest of the things because everything in life has an important role to play. Mm-hmm. So finding time, there's only one line answer. I love photography and blogging so much that even if I have to compromise on my sleep, I will still do it. And you would not believe, Ashwarya, that sometimes I desperately inside my head keep waiting for my twin toddler to sleep, hopefully little early, so that I can have 1 hour to myself writing or doing photo editing, anything. And I actually secretly wish for them to wake up a little late so that by the time they wake up at 9, I would still have 2 hours from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. I follow the the APAC timing. Mm-hmm. So my office starts at 9:30 around. So I still have 2 hours in the morning and 1 hour in the night. But then there is again a tussle. The tussle between me giving that time to my passion or me giving that time to my wife and family, because both are equally important. And
yes,
let me admit that there has been instances that my wife hasn't been happy with me for leaning more towards my passion and not spending quality time with her. And this is one thing that I keep in my mind and be mindful about. Mm-hmm. That, because, passion sometimes blinds you to the needs of people who are around you. So I have seen a shift from earlier times to now, that earlier I used to lean so heavily towards my passion that my time with family was getting really compromised and it wasn't going all smooth. And then I realized that, okay, passion has its place in my life and so is my wife and my kids. And if I don't spend time with them now, then what is this life? It can't be just the work. It can't be just your passion. Everything has a place in life. And so long as we are able to respect that, I know it's hard, but if you are able to somehow strike some balance between work life, family life, and your passion, I think nothing could be more amazing than that.
That's so profound and so true. You do get sometimes blinded by your passions. I know for a fact that my parents complain. My father's constantly complaining about how much or how many different dance classes I attend and how it doesn't matter if a dance class is happening at the other end of Bangalore, I will still make time for it. But somehow I'm not able to make time to visit my grandparents, which I agree is a fault of mine. But I see what you mean. When you have a family of your own, the responsibilities are that much more. And I think it is a good lesson to learn that you have to make time for the people that are around you and that you care about and that care about you, because what is the point of anything without those people around you? So really profound.
Yeah, and Aishwarya, I think it's the people who become your support system, because 100%. If I just follow my passion and if I just do my office work, the family will be left behind, right? And I will be gradually getting more and more disconnected with them with no time for each other. This is the worst that you can possibly let happen to you.
Okay, so coming back to the amount of effort that you put into your passion, photography. There are so many projects that you have ongoing, and you and I have talked about so many different things that you have in the pipeline. So can you tell us a little bit about what you have going on?
Yes, definitely. So, in photography world, I have seen that everyone is talking about either gears, mm-hmm. like this camera, this lens, what is the latest launch reviews, or they are talking about the photography tips and techniques, like how to compose, how to edit. I don't want to do that. Probably because I have never wanted to do something which everyone is doing. And that is also the reason that I chose law, because back then when I was there preparing for engineering, everyone was doing either engineering or medical. So I didn't want to be part of the rat race. So yeah, bringing that analogy here. So I don't want to do anything which everyone is doing. So right now, the focus of my project has been more towards mental health and wellness of artists and creators, because nobody talks about creative blocks. Nobody talks about the stress that we go through, the pressure to make ends meet. Sometimes you have family related issues, as I was discussing a while back, like not being able to strike that balance and having that ripple effect on your relationship. This is what I think I now want to focus on. And I have already started a page. I keep writing about those stuff. Secondly, there's another thing that I thought nobody is doing. You would have probably never heard of a library, library exclusively dedicated to photographers.
Mm-hmm.
Because you would have seen library, and who visits library? People think that you can gain all the knowledge from the internet itself. So why visit a library? So I am trying to create a private library,
mm-hmm.
from which people like photographers, artists can borrow books free of cost. So, I mean, this is the, because I know that for library is something which is getting obsolete. Nobody is actually investing. But I thought this is where I need to come into picture and create something like a learning resource or repository for all the artists and creators. This is obviously, this is a private library right now. So it's based in Mumbai. So only people from Mumbai can borrow these books from international authors and publishers from me. Yeah, and apart from that, there are other projects as well. Like I'm working on city guides. For example, if I'm visiting Bangalore, what are the cool places to hang out? And what are the places where you will get the best biryani? And so these are the information not culled from the internet or travel bloggers or food bloggers. These are the information I am trying to collect from people who have actually lived all their life in that city, who have seen all the good, bad, ugly of that city and knows the city inside out. This is a project in the pipeline. And other than that, photography projects, obviously, it keeps going on. I have several projects that I work on. And another thing that people do not talk about these about photography is the legal issues underpinning the creative world. For example, copyright issues, licensing, or even if you have a dispute or some differences with your client, how to handle that, like client contracts, whether if you just write an email to the client, will that actually serve as a proper contract or not in the eyes of law? Or if you have been an influencer talking about a camera brand, what influencer regulations and guidelines are there from the ASCI? So these kind of similarly drone regulations, people use drones, but I can bet that 90% of the people who use drone are not aware of the drone regulation, where you can fly, what are the fly zones, and whether you even need a license for that to fly a drone.
I didn't even know there were drone regulations before you just mentioned them. So yeah, I'm pretty sure people who do it as a hobby don't know that drone regulations exist.
Yeah, and in fact, coincidentally, I had worked on some of the projects as well. I mean, even in my legal career, I have worked on DGCA guidelines on drone regulations. So yeah, I would just say that, you know, I am here to do something which not everyone is talking about or discussing about. And these were just a few examples.
That's amazing. And I know that you are working on something very, very exciting, which is an e-magazine. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is again a project in the pipeline. I mean, and I hopefully it should see the light of the day. But the idea again is to revive something which is dying out. Like just a while back, I was talking about libraries getting died out, nobody visiting them. Similarly, if you talk about magazines, who reads it? I'm talking about the physical hard copy magazines. You will hardly find people reading it because they are always engrossed with their phone. The only time they could probably read it when they are in a flight and no internet connection. So they pick the in-flight magazine to read a few pages. So this is again an area I want to revive, in the sense that I want to come up with a photography, travel and art magazine. There's a, like, you know, photography content would be probably 70%, 20% travel and 10% art. But the idea is to not keep it just a photography magazine, but also cater to people who love travel and art. This is going to be a 6-monthly magazine. Obviously, I don't have time. Let me admit, because with all these responsibilities we were talking about, just imagine where would this person get time to publish his own magazine.
I am at a loss even now. You have asked me to, you know, contribute, and I have agreed to play a bigger role in this. And I am myself like questioning, oh my God, is how are you doing all of it when I'm having trouble just writing an article for this? So it's honestly mind-blowing how you are able to make time for this. It's really incredible.
Okay. On the time point, let me tell you one more thing, that, you know, off late, like, you know, this year's, every year I set my goals for the year. This year my goal has been to learn AI techniques and see how I can tap its potential and for my blogging and photography. And you would not believe, Aishwarya, like, my using AI and prompt engineering, I have been able to produce things more, much more efficiently. Then you might question that if you are using AI and using its content, so where is the originality? Good question. But the idea here is to use the AI as your virtual intern. I can't hire an intern. I can't pay an intern. So I use AI as a virtual intern. I let the AI do the groundwork and research. And then on top of that, I put my own personal anecdotes, personal touch, feelings. Because, you know, what AI cannot emulate is the human emotions, the relatability and vulnerability. So these kind of elements I bring from my end to the basic thing that I would have asked AI to help me with. That's I don't have smart. Any moral dilemma about admitting it, because I think if we don't start using it now, we will be left behind and our job will be gone in just few years.
You know, you are so right. I think the bottom line is you have to work smart, and you definitely seem to be of the category of people that adopt technology faster than most others do, and at least know how to use it to your advantage. So that is something I can personally learn from you, because I still haven't really tapped into ChatGPT and learned how to use AI. I still do Googling the old-fashioned way, and I prefer to, you know, have my own structure and start from scratch. I haven't learned to use AI tools efficiently. But yeah, I mean, I think this is a good place and a good inspiration for me to start, good motivation for me to start.
I would like to add one more small story here. So, you know, when I had joined NUJS, I was obviously not known to the tech world. You won't believe, I didn't even know what the word blog means or what it actually is. And some of my friends told me, you don't know what blog is, what is blogging. So then I started looking for what blog is, what are the platforms where you can actually write things. And I experimented with Blogger and WordPress. And you would not believe that this website of mine that you see, creativegenes.in, I had started it in my first or second year of law school.
Wow.
And with whatever basics I came to know, obviously nobody taught me. And this website that you see of mine on photography, this is entirely created and designed by me. I am not a tech person. I don't know coding. But gradually over so many years, I kept learning with experiments, with a lot of things. So if somebody gives me an excuse, okay, I don't know how to design a website, how to get the domain registered. I mean, in tech world, you can't make that as an excuse, because you have answer for everything. You have to just search a little bit harder. So this WordPress thing I have actually learned, and this was a great achievement for me, because otherwise I would have ended up paying lots of money to the web designer for all tech related things that my website needs.
Honestly, tell me, you must be a very difficult boss to live up to, no? The expectations, because your juniors must be like, "Arey, hamare sir to sab kuch kar lete hain, we can't even give like excuses to our boss."
I've never been boss to anyone. And in fact, whoever I have worked with, I have always considered them as partner, or in the sense that I have always considered them as a team. So other than this photography website, back then when I was in law school, I had also created another blog, which still exists. It's called IndianCaseLaw.in. The idea was to put all the case summaries of contract law on that blog. This is how it had started. Later on, it developed into many other things, and now it is much more diversified. It doesn't only have contract law cases, but also IP law cases and a lot of interesting things. For example, even learning IP law concepts through movies like PK or Love Sabte Chicken Khurana on trade secrets. So, you know, using movies as an example to teach the IP law concept is something my friend Ankit came up with. So I mentioned this for the reason that, you know, sometimes if you think that you can do it all, that's not true. You need a team, you need people, you need right people to join you, help you, collaborate with you. That's why I keep looking for people whom I can work with. So your question regarding boss, I never thought I have been boss, or I would never ever be if I am given that position. because I think we all work together. Because had Ankit not been there, my other blog, Indian Case Law, would have died out. All the content you see there related to IP, it is all his contribution and creativity. Without him, the blog would have been much lesser than what it is right now. So I would just say that, you know, when you think of doing things, never think that you can do it all alone.
Golden words, I would say. Can't do everything on your own. Very true. The outlook is really good, you know, when you have that mindset of gratitude, ki, I can't do everything on my own. Therefore, I must have a team to rely on. And the team in turn can rely on me. That's a very good place to be in, because that'll never put you in a position of having that heavy-headedness. And instead, you'll always remain humble and be grounded about the fact that anything that you achieve is because of the team that also worked with you. And it's not all just your doing. And that, I think, holds good whether you're in a professional space or you're doing something based on your passion, whatever it is, you know. So very nice.
Yeah. And Aishwarya, just to add about the team. So even several of my other projects, it is totally team driven. For example, I can't come up with a magazine all by myself. I have people who are working on different parts of that magazine. For example, publication, circulation, marketing. I'm not a marketing person. I can't do that. I don't have contacts. I don't have any network. So definitely I would rely on somebody who has those qualities as their plus points. So if you are thinking of doing anything big, you need good people to work with. You can't do it all by yourself. So never have that kind of unrealistic expectation from your own self.
Very important to keep in mind, I would say, definitely. Okay, I have really enjoyed talking to you. I just want to ask you one last question. I know that this entire episode has been filled with pearls of wisdom from you, but if you had one last piece of advice to give to people who are in the precipice of both professional life as well as have hobbies and passions that are completely unrelated to the career that they have chosen, what would that be?
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, whatever your hobby or interest is, give it enough love. These are simple words, but if you think about it, if you don't love something from the core of your heart, you will never find time for it. You'll have 100 excuses not to do it. So if you are really thinking of pursuing anything apart from your regular job, you have to love it enough that you can somehow find time for it. Be ready to compromise your sleep as well to achieve that. It's easier said than done. If you actually start doing it, it requires a lot of passion inside your heart. Else it's not possible. I have seen many people giving the same excuse ki office ke baad time hi kahan milta hai ki hum ye sab kare. And seeing me like the kind of things I do, I think the credit goes to just that passion. I am somehow able to keep it enlightened and not let it die out. So that undying passion is very important, without which anything you pick up, you will fizzle out and you will leave it.
That's really motivational to keep at it. If you have enough love, that's the only thing that's going to be a driving force for something that is not going to be your bread and butter. But on that note, thank you so much, Vivek. It has been an absolute pleasure talking to you. And I have learned lots, and I hope our listeners take away some of the most amazing things that you've said today. Do you have any last words that you'd want to say to our listeners?
Yeah, I would like to say that if any of your listeners ever feel like talking to me or speaking to me about anything related to what we discussed or anything around that, I'm always happy to connect and share my own experience. I would not say that I'm a know-it-all person would be able to guide or advise, but I would be able to definitely share how I dealt with the similar situation, because I feel that anybody pursuing anything other than their regular job, we would be on the same boat and we'll have same problems and issues that everyone is going through.
Well, listeners, you heard him. I will link Vivek's Instagram in the show notes below, as well as the links to his website and his blog. So please do make sure to check them all out. Reach out to Vivek. He is an extremely friendly person, as I am sure you have gathered through the course of this episode. But with that, it is time for us to end this episode. Thank you so much, listeners, for listening in. Vivek, thank you so much for joining and making time for this episode. It has been an absolute honor.
Thank you, Aishwarya. It was really lovely talking to you. I really enjoyed it thoroughly, and I hope that listeners should get at least something out of it which they find relatable and touch their heart. Thank you so much.
Thank you. With that, listeners, I will see you in the next one. Bye-bye.